advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Good morning. I'm Rachel.
Anya.
And this is Israel is Real. Boker Tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Shabbat Shalom b'Israel.
From 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. As a community-supported program, we depend on your support to stay on the air. We'd like to extend our thanks to all those who love and support our efforts on behalf of spreading the good news about Israel. We're still in fundraising efforts. As always, the fundraising goes on. We are trying to reach a goal of $5,600, and we're getting up there. We've got $2,075 so far, so please keep it coming. If you want to know how, please visit our website at www.israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. And you can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. We are grateful for the sponsors who support us, and one of those wonderful people is Vision Voice of Israel Initiative of New Hampshire.
Did you know that the Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshire4israel.org. That's www.NH4Israel.org.
I'd like to remind everybody that I think the webcam is working today. Is that true, George?
Yeah, absolutely. It is up and running. It's got your beautiful faces right on there.
So we say hi to everybody.
I'm looking to get more mic time on your show. I figure this is one way to do it.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, that sounds good to me. One little hour we have. It's not a lot.
I know.
Well, we always like to start our show with a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word today is tzedek. And Sonia, would you tell our listeners about tzedek?
Yes, I'm speaking about tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, which is from Deuteronomy. And it's about justice. Justice, justice shall you pursue that you may live. The double language, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, do you have any idea why?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, the idea is that to pursuit of righteousness must be also pursued with righteousness. We are not
pursuit of righteousness,
yes,
with righteousness.
Exactly.
Okay.
The meaning is that we are not merely being taught to run after justice. We are told to run after justice with justice. Make sense?
Well, why don't you explain it a little bit more? I'm not quite sure because it's so early for me in the morning.
Many times we pursue that which is righteous and fair. Our goal is to ensure that what is right prevails. We are often tempted to let the ends justify the means. We may overlook the fact that we have to step on a few laws here and there, as long as in the end righteousness will prevail. We know, unfortunately, how many times in history the pursuit of justice was carried on with unjust ways. This has caused terrible destructions. The message of our pasuk, the verse, is that we may not overlook unscrupulous methods to achieve lofty goals. Righteousness must be pursued with righteousness. Achieving tzedek, justice, in any other way is not tzedek.
Well, you're saying that. I know I probably shouldn't speak about this, but I just wanted to say it brought up. They thought of the Supreme Court ruling that just happened this morning here in America about the campaign funds, some unlimited campaign funds. But I won't get into that. And I just want to also remind the people that Israel is still making wonderful efforts at saving lives in Haiti. And you can support Israel in doing that. And if you go on our website later on today, we will hopefully have some listings of anyone who wants to help Israel help Haiti, ways that you can do that. So, which brings us today to our guest. Our guest today, Mr. Ari Applebaum, is a native Israeli, and he's working here in America as a Middle East analyst and educator. And he's also a marketing and communications manager for the David Project Center for Jewish Leadership. He's represented Israel and other Jewish causes in Maryland, Washington, D.C., Wisconsin, Belgium, Denmark, Sweden, and the Netherlands, commonly known as Holland. The David Project Center for Jewish Leadership is a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating and inspiring hundreds of college students to assume leadership roles and bring Israel programs and events to their college campuses. And Ari, I'd love to hear all about this because I know that one of the most important things is education. And especially on the college campuses, I know that it's very difficult for Jewish students. So first of all, can you tell us, the listeners, a little bit about the David Project? Why is it called David? Who is David? And tell us a little bit about this.
Okay, sure. First of all, I'd like to say it's a real pleasure to be on your show this morning. I'm an avid listener and a big supporter of the show, so thank you for having me.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
In terms of the David Project, we were started in 2002. As you may recall, 2000 was Camp David and the collapse of the Palestinian-Israeli negotiations and the peace process. And that erupted, of course, with the second intifada, a wave of violence that unfortunately led to deaths and casualties, thousands of them on both sides. And what was interesting was that even though in 2000 Israel made one of the most far-reaching offers, or the most far-reaching offer ever to the Palestinians for what we call a mm-hmm. final status solution, two states living side by side in peace, what was shocking to many in the community was that despite the fact that it was turned down and met with unprecedented levels of hostility and violence, that world public opinion was turning more and more against Israel, not for Israel. Specifically, we saw on college campuses in 2000, 2001, 2002, this major eruption of anti-Israel sentiments, of rallies, demonstrations, professors speaking very negatively against Israel. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was a process that took many years. But clearly, we saw this eruption. And what was sad was that the Jewish community, Jewish students and other pro-Israel students on campus, felt unprepared. They felt that they did not have the knowledge, the basic skills, the information, or the support they needed from some of the existing organizations to articulate what they intuitively knew to be true about the state of Israel. And that was a real problem. We've perceived that to be as a strategic threat for Israel. And the David Project was founded out of that notion in 2002 of wanting to empower these students to, like you said, Sonia, to educate the students and have them understand that with that education comes a responsibility to voice their opinions and to support Israel publicly. So we were started in 2002, and you asked about the name of the organization. Mm-hmm. The David is after King David, of course. King David, we all know, stood up to Goliath, and today many think of Israel as a Goliath oppressing a Palestinian people. And even in the name of the organization, we wanted to educate people that this is a geopolitical situation that's much more complex. It's regional. It's not just local. If you look at the Middle East as a whole, one could argue that Israel is actually a David versus Iran, for example, and other countries that are threatening it. So we wanted to, even in the name of the organization, educate people about the reality in the Middle East as opposed to perceptions that are so prevalent.
It seems to me that the more Israelis giving, the more we are getting anti-Semitic levels of hate, and how we can understand it.
Well, it's important to note that the David Project, one of our biggest successes has been in bringing the community as a whole together. We're able to appeal to a wide variety of audiences and organizations. So we don't take a political stance in terms of what Israel should or shouldn't do, or what the United States government and the current administration should or shouldn't do. We do support Israel's right to exist and defend itself and live in peace with its neighbors. However, you are correct that we have seen over the years a trend of, despite Israel's willingness to give more and more for peace, we've seen an increase in both hostility and violence and in negative perception of Israel. So I agree with that.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Before we go on, I do want to hear about the curriculum, but just tell us a little bit about how you became involved with the David Project. You're from Israel, and tell us a bit about yourself.
Okay, so I was born in a city called Rehovot, Israel, to American Olim. They made Aliyah from New York by way of California and Italy in 1970. And often I ask them why then, and they say you had to be alive at the time to see the euphoria, the post Six-Day War and the 1967 war. It seemed really clear that it was the right thing to do to move to Israel to make Aliyah. So they made Aliyah with a lot of friends and family in 1970. I was born later in Israel in an English-speaking home, lived there my whole life. Served in the IDF, in the Armored Corps in Shirion, which is a tank unit. Then went on to get my education at Hebrew University and Tel Aviv University for my master's. I worked in PR for a few years doing marketing mostly for high-tech companies. As you know, there's a thriving market of high-tech and startups in Israel. So I helped them market themselves abroad. And then one day the David Project was recruiting in Israel. They wanted to expand their team, the analysts and researchers here are mostly American. They wanted an Israeli point of view and perspective. So they hired me on a shlichut, a mission to come here for a few years, help the organization, and eventually move back.
Nice. This David Project was started by Charles Jacobs, is that correct?
Correct. It was founded by Charles Jacobs, who is a serial social entrepreneur. He's started several organizations and has since moved on to start yet another one. Together with the current chairman of our board, Seth Klarman, together they realized that this was a new time for the Jewish people and for Israel supporters, and decided to start a new organization to meet these new challenges.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We are going to come back and continue to speak with Ari Applebaum of the David Project. We have to take a short break now. This is WSMN 1590. Israel is real.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
President Obama losing power. I'm Bill O'Reilly. The Talking Points memo is next.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Give remote users secured access to network resources.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda SSL VPN is an integrated hardware and software solution, enabling secure, clientless remote access to internal network resources from any web browser
on a PC, Mac, or smartphone.
With no software to install, no per-user fees, and a quick installation, the Barracuda SSL VPN empowers your staff with valuable network resources
from anywhere.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit.
888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or visit barracuda.com.
Do you owe back taxes, being audited? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problems today. Call 1-866-694-4019 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Call Taxmasters right now at 866-694-4019 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
Talking Points believes the most compelling consequence in the election of Scott Brown to the Senate is President Obama's loss of power. It's obvious the president's visit to Massachusetts did not help Martha Coakley. And even though most voters in the Bay State are Democrats, Mr. Brown won the election largely because the folks don't like what's going on in Washington. President Obama can't spin that result. His administration is not pleasing the American public right now, and that's that. So Mr. Obama is losing power. Not a good thing for a president with 3 years left in office. Forget about Obamacare. It probably will not happen now. Nor will cap and trade, nor will any kind of huge tax increase. All of those things are evaporating. However, President Obama is still the most powerful man in the world. His comeback try will be interesting. And that's the memo. I'm Bill O'Reilly on Westwood One.
What did they do? What did they do to my city? I pushed Michael Yu away from the binoculars and took a look.
Hey!
In the streets below, traffic had stopped. Pedestrians were lying on sidewalks and curled up in doorways. There was no sign of violence, no wrecks, nothing like that. It was as if the people in New York had simply decided to stop whatever they were doing and pass out. Ice coated my stomach. A line from the prophecy rang in my ears.
And see the world in endless sleep.
Not dead. He has put the entire island of Manhattan to sleep. The invasion has started. To find out what happens next, read Percy Jackson and the Olympians by Rick Riordan. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library and visit read.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Doug Steffen. Listen to Good Day early mornings on 1590 WSMN.
Nashua's News and Talk.
We're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, with Israel is Real. We are two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. And we'd like to remind you to visit our website, and we'll give you that information afterwards. And because we want to keep talking with our our wonderful guest, Ari. However, I want to remind people that we do have some wonderful sponsors and sponsorship, and one of them is Vern Main. Vern Main and his associates. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialist at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua, or you can visit them on the web at vernmain.com. That's vernmaine.com, vernmain.com. And we're back speaking with Ari Applebaum of the David Project, and we're very excited to have Ari here because it's a very important work that you're doing. Sonia, you wanted to ask Ari a question.
Yes, I'm wondering how kids, relevant ages, are coming to David Project, having in mind that today it's the generation, it's very indifferent to what's happened around. And this is, unfortunately, the Jewish kids as well. So,
yeah, that's one of the biggest challenges we're finding, is that many students are just apathetic. They couldn't care less about the situation. And what we try to do is make it relevant to them, to their lives. Of course, students have to have some kind of a relationship with their Jewish identity, some kind of a relationship with Israel. If that doesn't exist, then it's very hard to pull them in. What we've done, and I'll talk soon about our different curricular items, is we kept taking steps back to and realized that we can't just approach college students. Even if the end goal is college campuses, you have to work with high school students. And then we found that high school students, that's not enough either. We took another step back, and now we're focusing on middle school students, where you can actually still work on molding some of their Jewish identity and their relationship with Israel within that identity. So I agree that that's one of the biggest challenges. And my answer is, it can't only be up to organizations and schools. It has to also come from the home, and it has to start early.
So when you go into schools, these are not just private Jewish schools or these are also public schools. So you're reaching a lot of different people, mixed kind of religions and all kinds of people.
So the model that the David Project has taken is a unique model, and it is a model of leadership development. What does that mean? We don't have, and most nonprofits don't have, the resources to approach the entire community. And so what we do is we focus on mostly the pro-Israel community. And that means Jews and non-Jews who have some kind of a relationship and some kind of willingness to speak up and to learn more about the state of Israel. So we focus on those groups, and we empower them. We give them the tools, the educational materials, and encourage them to do the work. If we can reach the thousands of people who are at the core of this circle and create an effective movement of educated voices for Israel, they will in turn reach tens and hundreds of thousands of others and do the work. I think that's the most effective model, and that's what we've been pursuing successfully for the past few years.
So from what you are telling us, I understand that not only Jews are working with the David Project.
Yeah, correct. We tend to partner with other organizations, Jewish and non-Jewish. We work with all students on campus. We work a lot with Jewish students and challenge them to find their allies on campus. The Jewish community is so small. And if it is up, we're the David. If it's up just to us to win this war, it is almost impossible. And so we encourage them to find allies, and we tell them there's a difference between allies and friends. Friends are people that you can relate to on almost all levels. Allies, it's enough to join forces on one issue that you agree on one important agenda item. And even if we disagree on many theological or religious or other aspects, allies means you find the thing that you agree on, you focus on that. And we've had tremendous success with Jewish students partnering with Christian students, with Muslim students, with Baha'i. The Baha'i religion, for those listeners who don't know, are persecuted throughout the Middle East, especially in Iran and historically in Persia. They're international centers in Israel. And so we found that because the Baha'i are so grateful for the way that Israel has treated them over the years, Baha'i students on campus are the ideal ally for Jewish students. So we encourage students to pursue those kinds of relationships and to work together in a collaborative approach.
Fantastic. George, you wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, hi. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I'm on your website, and you talked about the mission of the David Project Center and trying to help college students assume leadership roles and bring Israel programs and events to their college campuses. Can you give me a couple of examples of college students who have gone on to assume a leadership role and the types of Israel programs they may have brought to their college?
Sure, absolutely. I think what is important to note is that many organizations have very specific agendas and try to dictate top-bottom to students what they want them to do. The David Project is very unique in that we don't contact students and say, here's a program we want you to run. Here's something we want you to say. On the contrary, as a leadership development organization, we encourage them to do what they believe is right for their college environment. We realize that not every college is the same, and it would be wrong for us to say, here's what we're launching on all campuses this fall. So that's what I want to say as context, because what we found is that if we give students the tools they need, they'll thrive in very different ways. So for example, last summer we had a student come to our leadership training program in Boston. His name is Sean Abelson. He was so encouraged and motivated by the program that he went back to his notes from the summer he spent in Israel, and he had this idea while on vacation to launch a website for students visiting Israel to give them all the tools they needed to have it be a meaningful trip. And he said to us, because of reconnecting me with fellow students who feel the same way, because you gave me the tools and motivation, I'm going back and I'm going to launch this project. And he did. And now the website is up and running. I wish I could remember the URL. I can't remember at the time, but we could post it on our website.
Okay, great. Yeah, that would be wonderful.
I think it's great that you have a project like this to help keep people in tune with their culture, their background, their religion. It's something that that more college students should be involved with. And not just the David Project, but other projects similar to this. I think it's a great group.
Thank you.
So what do you think is, what kind of effect has there been on the campuses? Has, you know, what kind of effect have these students who become leaders and doing some sort of activism, what kind of effect have they had?
That's an excellent question. I would say that the most important difference, if we look back to 2002 and compare it with 2009, we see a major change on campuses. The bad news is there's still a lot of bad stuff going on, probably more in quantity and in quality of the events that we see launched against the Jewish state with the aim of defaming it. So the bad news is we're still up against a lot of bad stuff. The good news is the pro-Israel community feels, we see that the pro-Israel community is more prepared. The various organizations that used to work in a very isolated fashion are now collaborating. So the David Project, on every campus we're working on, we find many partners to work with us. We put the students first. If in the past organizations maybe put themselves first, I see now that the goal is too lofty to be lost on politics. So we see organizations working hand in hand. There's an organization called ICC, Israel on Campus Coalition, that acts as an umbrella organization for all the organizations active on campus. So it's great for students.
Is there a website for that also?
Yeah, I think it's icc.org. I would have to check it out. So we see that organizations are working together, and what that means is students feel that they are supported properly. Students know that they have who to turn to. They turn to the David Project. They get consultation, constant support, 24 hours a day. If they have something bad on campus, they have an address to turn to, and that makes a really big difference. So what we see is the pro-Israel community is more organized, more prepared. They know more of the facts, and more willing to speak up when we see all this, the bad things that I spoke about happen. At least there's a response, and there's a proactive response, meaning students are working throughout the year. We encourage them not to just to respond to negative things, but to plan a strategy, year-round strategy that's right for their campus, and to plan pro-Israel events year-round, not just wait until the next anti-Israel event.
Or some crisis or something.
Right.
Yeah, what kind of... Sorry, go ahead.
I know that you are giving some college credits for the work that the students are doing under the David Project. Can you a little bit tell us more? Because I think it's important for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So very early on in our organization's history, we developed a signature analysis of the Arab-Israeli conflict. We found that many in the community are overwhelmed by the complexity of the history of the conflict, and many felt that they needed to be an expert or almost a professor on Middle East history in order to voice an educated opinion. And while we do encourage people to learn more and more. Education is key. We've developed a presentation, an hour and a half lecture that we've given to tens of thousands, if not more, of adults and students that really simplifies the conflict to a very easy to understand three-dimensional analytical framework that enables people to better understand those complexities and, more importantly, once you understand them, articulate them to others. So that has been very effective around the United States and Canada. And a few years ago, we were approached by the Avichai Foundation. Avichai.org is their website. The Avichai Foundation approached the David Project. They were partners of ours very early on. And they said, as I said earlier, we can't wait until students are on campus. We have to reach them in the high schools. And they've helped us, and they still support us in a project, an initiative for high school students. We've taken the signature analysis of the Arab-Israeli conflict. We've turned it into a 14-lesson multimedia, fully scripted curriculum that is now taught. We were hoping to get it into a handful of schools. It's now taught in more than 100 schools around the country. And that curriculum is actually college accredited because it is written by our highly academic in-house team of analysts and researchers. Gratz College has accepted it as a college accredited course. So high school students who take it can then apply to receive 2 college credits for it. And they have. So that's our leading high school curriculum, and we're very proud of it. We're constantly training more and more teachers to take that into their 11th and 12th grades and teach their students. Many teachers do different things with it. Some focus more on the history. Some focus more on the advocacy. At the end of the day, we're hoping to reach a baseline of information. That's our high school curriculum. If I may, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our middle school curriculum.
Yeah, before you do that, I was just curious, how do you approach schools, or do they approach you? How do you do this matching? How do you find schools? Because I'd love to, you know, introduce you to the schools around here in New Hampshire, and you know, I was just wondering how do you make that connection?
So it's mostly offered for private schools, because public schools, it's much more difficult to introduce external curricula. We mostly work through contacts that we have. We get approached all the time by teachers who constantly tell us, we have this challenge. We don't have the resources in-house to develop a real high-quality Arab-Israeli conflict-related curriculum. We need your help. And so we get both, we're approached by teachers, and we constantly are on the phone trying to reach more and more schools to introduce the curriculum. And we're in, I would say, a majority of pro-Israel or Zionist private schools today, but there's always more to do.
Sorry, do we have to go to break? Oh, sorry. when we come back, let's talk about the curriculum more in detail.
Sure.
And we're speaking with Ari Applebaum of the David Project, and this is WSMN 1590, Israel is Real.
See the hillside over yonder. There's my baby over there. At his doorstep, he's singing a lullaby.
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
In southern New Hampshire, there's a variety of news and talk programming on your radio, and here on 1590 WSMN. We know from time to time you have questions about programming and comments you'd like to pass along to us. Now you can just email us at any time at info@WSMNradio.com. That email address is info@WSMNradio.com. Use it whenever you like. And thanks for listening to Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy! Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost.
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision. You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
More than 30,000 Americans are now living with ALS. To help improve the lives of these people, the American Academy of Neurology has updated its guidelines, identifying the best treatments for longer and easier lives. The Academy recommends people with ALS enroll early in a specialized multidisciplinary ALS clinic and take the only FDA-approved drug for ALS, known as riluzole. The Academy also recommends people use assisted breathing devices and a feeding tube called a PEG to help maintain weight, since nutrition plays a critical role in prolonging survival. While we are waiting for a cure, it's important to know that more treatments are now available to ease the burden of ALS. To learn more about treating ALS or to find a neurologist near you, visit the American Academy of Neurology's website at AAN.com. That's AAN.com.
Army Specialist Lance Gieselman was paralyzed when his tank was blown up in Iraq.
I was the only survivor.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is an independent organization dedicated to ensuring our injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned and need. Paralyzed Veterans Senior National Service Officer Anthony Steele.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to serve our veterans.
If you would like to help our veterans, visit PVA.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
We're locally owned, and that means we're here to serve you. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
We're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, with Israel is Real. Again, we're two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Remember that we are still fundraising, always fundraising to keep us on the air. It's with your support that we stay on the air. And again, visit our website at israelisreal.weebly.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. We are grateful for all our sponsors and all of you out there who are helping us stay on the air. And again, we'd like to remind you about Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel and informs you of how its technical advances personally benefit you? Did you know that Israeli scientists have developed a way to use white blood cells from healthy donor blood to stimulate the patient's own body to complete the healing process, especially for complication following surgery? To receive Vision's email alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
And we're back with Ari Applebaum of the David Project. Ari, in this last leg of our show, it goes by so quickly, we really wish we had more time. Can you tell us about more about the middle school curriculum and what actually you're doing in the middle schools?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, our high school curriculum has been around the longest and has been very successful in preparing college students before they even set foot on campus with a baseline of information, skills, knowledge necessary to speak up for Israel and show their support. But unfortunately, what we found is that even in Jewish high schools, even in the day schools, we found that many students, that the assumption that there is a basic level of relationship and connection with Israel, the relationship that is necessary in order to want to learn more about the conflict and advocate for Israel, is sometimes lacking. We found that what we used to take for granted, definitely in my parents' or grandparents' generation, pre-state, post-Holocaust, even post-Six-Day War, those generations have a completely different relationship with Israel. And in today's Twitter and Facebook generation, the question is that students often ask is why? Why should I care about Israel? Why is Israel relevant or should be relevant to my life? And we have to answer those questions before we even take it to the next step. Right. And what we've done after we've been contacted by many, many school teachers, we took our team and we spent a couple of years and developed a very high-level curriculum called Israel and Jewish Identity. And we've launched it last year as a pilot. This is the second year that it's running. And I'm proud to say that we've trained over 50 teachers already across the country to teach this curriculum. And what it does, it educates middle school, but also high school students about the connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel throughout history and the centrality of Israel to the Jewish people in culture and religion, in identity. And we show them how it's the relationship with Israel that is at the very basis of our identity as a people. And this is the very missing element that teachers constantly tell us, this is what we needed. This is what we needed. So we're introducing that, and we're looking for more and more schools to teach that. And I think that's going to be a major leap forward in terms of Israel education in North America.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I'm really glad to hear that, because I find also that, you know, that's getting lost as we become more modern and progressive and more global, that connection is getting lost a little bit. Tell us more about the college. You know, we've got, I'm sort of like feeling a little pressured, but we do have actually more time. But why don't you tell us what more is going on with the curriculum? When you get through the middle school and the high school.
Yeah, so to take a step back, I would like to say that what's unique about the David Project is we're probably the only organization out there that offers a sequence of educational programs. So we start today, we're able to offer middle school students Israel curricula, high school students Israel and conflict-related educational curricula. Then we continue with them in Israel. We have a team in Israel. Many, many high school graduates who are pro-Israel now travel to Israel for a short trip, a semester, or a year program. We work with those students in Israel and offer them a wide range of semester courses, year courses, one-time workshops. We work with birthright groups when they're in Israel. So we definitely work with pre-college students as well as college campuses. That's where our focus is. We spend a lot of our resources on helping students, both educating them. In the summer, we have an elite leadership course that students are invited to attend. We work with them year-round by giving them consultation, support, mini grants, help with anything related to Israel on campus. So we lead all the way to campus. We work with college students. And then beyond campuses, we also have a growing network of adult ed programs and educators who go out to synagogues, to churches, to different groups and help them understand various issues related to Israel. And for adults who want to become more involved in supporting Israel, we offer them a wide range of opportunities as well. So what is nice, I think, is this sequence, this strategy we've created that focuses on college campuses, but realizes that if we want to really create an effective movement of Israel supporters, we have to start young and continue, you know, from 12 to 120 all the way through. So that's where we're going. That's where we're very happy to be positioned today.
So you're a fantastic resource as well. And you're really guiding people and giving them a helping hand in making this happen. I see you've got something here about ways to make a difference.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a bit about that?
So people who want to get involved with the David Project, I would say there's really 10 ways, and we'll see if we can get through all of them, but 10 ways.
You got time. I think we got time, right? Go for it.
10 ways to make a difference for Israel by working with the David Project. And this is important for those listeners who really want to make a difference for Israel. Here's how we can help you do that. The first is, if you have a son, grandson, nephew, niece, friend, relative who's a student on college campus and has some kind of a relationship and a desire to help Israel, send them to the Legacy Heritage David Project Campus Fellows Seminar. That takes place every summer. It's taking place this summer in August in Boston.
And Do you have to register in advance?
You have to register and apply on our website, which is davidproject.org. That's one word, davidproject.org. Send them to our website, have them register. Not everybody is accepted, but we'll do our best to accept as many eligible applicants as possible. That's really the elite course today, preparing the real Israel advocates on campus. And if they come, they'll see in an interactive setting, they'll be able to deal with some of the most difficult issues and have debates and simulations. And they'll hear high-level speakers and be able, after 4 days of this, to really take their efforts to a new level. So that's the first way, is send college students our way, specifically to our summer seminar supported by the Legacy Heritage Foundation.
Excellent, excellent. Number two.
Number two, workshops and community programs. Check out our website, davidproject.org, for upcoming programs that take place in New Hampshire or wherever you're listening. We have events and lectures on campuses and in communities, and you can attend them usually for free and learn about the Arab-Israeli conflict, Israel advocacy, Israel's achievements, Iran and the Iranian threat, the misuse of the apartheid analogy, all these interesting topics that we speak about. Just attend a scheduled lecture and make sure you know the facts.
Wonderful. Number three.
Number three, you can screen our award-winning documentary, The Forgotten Refugees. This is an important movie that tells a missing component of history that until several years ago was almost missing from Jewish and non-Jewish perceptions. And what is important is that this movie is now has been screened to well over 100,000 people. And I encourage people to bring this movie, The Forgotten Refugees. It has its own website, theforgottenrefugees.com. That's theforgottenrefugees.com. And people can actually screen it and bring a speaker to talk about this important historical event. It's a fascinating movie, and I encourage people to show it.
This is about the refugees that came from?
From Arab lands and Iran. It's people don't know that well over 800,000 people, Jews who were living peacefully for many years in their parent communities throughout the Middle East, were effectively expelled and became refugees. And we all speak about the Palestinian refugees without realizing that a sizable group of Jewish refugees were created around the same time due to the same conflict. So it's important that people know about the suffering of these now former refugees.
Excellent. Number four.
Number four, we have a speakers bureau. We have, in addition to our in-house team of analysts, we work with expert lecturers around the country, and we can help you bring a variety of experts on different Israel-related topics to your community. So if you contact us and check out our website, davidproject.org, we have a list of speakers. We can help you bring those speakers to your community.
I'd love to bring someone to talk about the IDF sometime here, if you've got that connection.
Absolutely.
Number five.
Number five, educate yourself. This is probably the most important. If you go to davidproject.org, you'll find up-to-date information, materials, constant news and analysis coming from Israel, recommended publications on Israel and the Middle East. You could contact us for advice, for information, for resources. The key to really being an effective supporter for Israel is education. And we think that with education comes a responsibility to act, meaning once you know the facts, you'll feel internally obliged to speak up and stand up for Israel. And we encourage people to use our website as a resource for education and information.
I am loving this David Project more and more. Each number we get to, number six.
Thank you so much. Six, monitor the media. We didn't have time now to discuss the issues with media. And today we see that, unfortunately, with the new media, online media, Web 2.0, we're seeing a lot of the same problems we've had with traditional media in terms of bias against Israel. And you can really make a difference for Israel by communicating with members of the media, writing letters to editors, responding on blogs. And if you contact us for advice, we can help you make that happen.
We've got about 3 minutes. We're going to get our Parshat HaShavua, but let's go 7, 8, 9, 10 quickly as you can.
As quickly as I can.
Because I think it's unbelievable what you're doing.
Thank you. We spoke about our educational curricula for middle schools and high schools. If you know principals, if you know teachers, if you know anybody who would want to be trained, we have teacher training institutes, send them our way. We'll train them. We'll give them all the materials they need to teach effectively about Israel. So if you know of any school that's not teaching our curricula, send them our way. We'll work with them. Number 8, stay in touch with your alma mater. Check out what's happening on the campus where you went to school. You might be surprised that things have changed and taken a turn to the worse. And we can help you if you want to make your opinions heard on your college campus. We'll help you make that happen through students that are currently on campus. Number 9, support our work. We're really dependent on donations, and every donation makes a difference. We're dependent on individuals who care about Israel and want to create a movement of educated voices for Israel. And we have a matching gift program now. If you give us a donation, the information is on our website. We have a generous donor who will match that, so your impact will be doubled.
Can I write the check?
Please do. We need it. And the last thing is join our email list. Go to davidproject.org, and we will send you twice a week Israel news updates and all the information you need. So please check out our website and join our mailing list.
I'm in.
Thank you so much.
Ari Applebaum, The David Project. That's davidproject.org, davidproject.org. And Sonia, would you like to tell us about this week's Torah portion, the Parshat HaShavua?
The sun has set in Israel, and in New Hampshire we will soon welcome Shabbat, the Sabbath day. Our Torah portion this week is Bo. The essence of Parashat Bo is the cry, "Let my people go." This portion specifies the last three plagues, concluding with the death of the Egyptians' firstborn that forced Pharaoh to relent, finally permitted the Israelites to leave Egypt and worship God in the wilderness. Illness is often the result of a kind of bondage whose thought and emotion that are retained in the body. Pharaoh's stubbornness is symbolic of the way we became resistant to change. Look what it took for Pharaoh to change his mind about releasing the Israelites. Consider what it will take for you to look deeply into your own illness to discover its meaning in order to change your unhealthy ways of living. Parashat Bo concludes with all the laws related to remembering the moments experience of the Exodus from Egypt. This event is considered to so important for our spiritual development that we are required to recall this story in our daily prayers and to remember this occasion each and every Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real. Shabbat Shalom from the David Project. And we'd like to thank Ari Applebaum again. And let's make that connection. Israel is Real.
Connecting you to the news of the day.
Because communication is the beginning of understanding.
1590 WSMN, Nashua.